him.
All right. Yeah. Sit down. Will, what a... Sit down. What a blessing it is. You're taking the preaching time. Sit down. Is this on? All right. Will. Way, ma'am. I'm glad and honored to be here. What an honor it is. I've been a preacher before several years ago. But we love this college. It has been near and dear to our heart for our family because all of our kids have gone here. The Highlander Singing Men, Brother Mark sang 3 years, I guess, with them, right? Brother Collins took our son away from us for 3 summers, and we're still upset at him about that. But what an opportunity it was. We're so thankful for not only our own family going here, but several that we have on staff with us. Where's Miss Christiana Turner? I'm trying to figure out where she's at. There you are. Stand if you would. As far as I know, she's still coming on staff with us, right? Unless I mess up the sermon. And so your sister told me to set up a chapel date for you. So she said that that's what I was supposed to do, right? And so we appreciate her sister Abigail. And so Mikey Glover was saved in our bus ministry, came here, and the best thing that ever happened to him next to his salvation was to marry Abigail Turner. And they are serving with us, both of them teaching and doing a wonderful job. So Christiana, you have a high standard to achieve too, because Abigail has been just fantastic teaching, and so we're excited about you coming. What a blessing that is, and looking forward to having you. Zach Holzcraft also has just come on staff, and we're trying to straighten that guy out as best we can, but we love him. What a blessing it is. Hey, take your Bible, and you don't mind us looking at the Word of God, do you? All right, so... Amen. So let's stand if we would. Let's read something here from 2 Peter and chapter number 1. I'll jump a little bit here. But it says in verse number 4, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, it says, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The Bible says, besides all this, that we are to give diligence. And it says that we're supposed to add to your faith. And then it says virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, as it goes through that list. Let's look, if we would, at verse number 10. In verse number 10, the Bible says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Verse number 10, wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, the Bible says again, ye shall never fall. The Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless and lead now in this time. Lord God, we just thank you so much for Hal's Anderson College and for 50 years of training men and women to go forward into full-time Christian service and do the work of the Lord. They have dedicated themselves just to ministry training. God, I thank you for that. Lord, how I pray that you'd bless these young people that are standing before us. They need your help. They need your power, your equipping in their life as much as any others that have sat here before them. And so, God, how I pray that you would bless them and bless in this time. We'd ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated all over. What a wonderful verse this is. And as I get older, and as I've been in the ministry for a longer time, I see really a decline in churches as a whole, but also for us in independent Baptist churches. There is a decline in attendance of churches overall, and there is a decreasing of the number of churches. As you drive around, both in our state of New Mexico, and there's not that many independent Baptist churches to start with. We were just recently in Georgia, and there's so many churches that now have just closed their doors. As we've come through COVID, of course, that time has only increased. And we are in many ways, and I don't want to sound negative in this, but in many ways, we are really going in the wrong direction with the Great Commission and the work of the Lord, as there has just been a great decrease in that area. So I want to thank God for all the faithful servants of the Lord we have here in front of me. And I believe that God has for you to go forward and to do his work, whatever it is that he calls you, and whatever it is that he leads you in. But let me assure you of this, that pastoring and missionary is a really, really good thing. Amen? We need more. We need more missionaries. We need more pastors. It is just so very, very important. We have a Bible Institute for all these years, and this is, again, nothing significant but to say this, but I challenged the guys and I asked them this. I said, when you read the book of Acts, I said, how long would we think that it takes in order for a man from the time he's saved, from the time that God calls him to preach, until he is actually out pastoring and doing the work? I said, we don't know the years of that, but do you think that it is longer or do you think that it's shorter? And then I answer that sometimes and I say yes, because it varies in situations. But I think that sometimes that we drag the process out more than we need to. And so I want to challenge you just to consider, if you go forward and if you work as assistant pastor at a church, let me just say this, get busy at the work, because it is a wonderful work. Amen? It's one of the best things in the world to do. This is one of the things that you learn where you are right now. There's kind of four different stages, if you would, of knowledge. And so the first stage of knowledge is you know everything. Amen? I often think, Pastor Wilkerson, I often think that we could solve all of the world's problems if we just had teenagers to lead, because they know everything, amen? They just know it all. They got it all figured out. They know more than their parents. They know more than their pastor. They have it all figured out. Then as you start to grow in the Lord, as you go forward, you realize you don't have all of the answers. Then as you go, you realize that you know some Bible truth. I'm sorry. Then you realize you don't have all the answers. But I tell the guys, I said, once you get out in the ministry and start going forward, not only will you realize that you don't have the answers, you didn't even know the questions. Amen? But all that's just a process of preparation. And I want to assure you of this. You will never really feel ready or qualified in order to be able to do the work of God. But God uses us. Amen? I remember when I went to start pastoring, to start the church, Gospel Light Baptist Church in Rio Rancho, New Mexico, I knew that I wasn't ready. And when I got there in those days before we started, literally, I'm just telling you, I got scared to death. And if I was not sure and settled that God had called me to this place, then I could have easily tucked tail and run. It would have been no real difficult thing at all for that to happen. I could have just turned and ran away from that. And I think that's happening really too much in the ministry. Verse number 10, it says this. It says, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence, it says, to give diligence, to be serious about this thing and to work at this thing. It says, to make your calling and your election sure. And here's what I want you to understand. If you are saved, then God has a will for your life. God has chosen you for a life's path. He has chosen you to do something for His glory in the work of the Lord in the Christian life. God wants you to raise to marry in the will of God and to have children and to raise them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. It's one of the greatest ministries that we have, is to train the next generation after us. And if we'll do that faithfully, then Christianity will carry forward strong in our nation until the Lord comes again for us. But God also has a calling on your life, and that's very obviously why it is that you sit here in chapel at Hiles Anderson College, is because God has a very specific call upon your life, a call to full-time Christian service, a call that you must take very personally, and that you must embrace that call that God has for you. So here's what God says. I want you to take that election that I have for you. I've chosen you. I want you to take that calling. Then He says, I want you to make it sure. I want you to take and to nail that thing down. I want you to have a confidence about that. I want you to be stable, and I want you to be clear and committed about the call of God or the will of God upon your life. And so let me say that while you're here, you need to make your calling sure, to make it sure. This is a time, as you sit here in Bible college and as you're preparing your life to serve the Lord, this is a time to settle your calling, to know very clearly that God has called you and God has set you to this work that He has for you, that God has called you into the ministry. I said that there are churches without pastors and there are churches that are closing. And there are many different reasons for that, but I believe to some degree that one of the reasons for that is that there's a man that stepped into the pastorate of that church and really they weren't settled on the calling of God on their life. They weren't clear about that. They weren't solid and settled in that matter. There was still some things that were kind of up in the air. And to some degree, they were just going to see how it goes. How's this thing going to go? Well, let me help you out, and let me be a prophet for just a moment. When you're in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you how it's going to go. There's going to be some victories and some mountain peaks, but there's also going to be some dark valleys. And if you're not settled on the call of God on your life, then it's going to be easy for you to just quit and to walk away from that and just to turn back. There was a pastor friend of mine who was struggling in the ministry and was kind of having a harder time, and things weren't really going forward more and more. He was driving by, and he was actually videoing this as he had come from church, and he was driving by, and he videoed and he showed a golf course, and he said, I just think that God is calling me here to the golf course, and I think that that's what God wants for me to do. Clearly, he was on the way out. And it was only a short time after that before he just stepped out of the ministry. And that's, again, so sad. But God says, I want you to make your calling and election sure. I want you to double down on that thing and to be serious about it. You've probably heard this story before, but conquistador Hernan Cortes, in 1519, he arrived on the shores of what would now be southern Mexico. He was going to battle the very brutal Aztec Empire, fearing then that his people, that his men in the heat of battle would seek to, again, tuck tail and run, or that they would seek to retreat. He ordered the leaders then to burn the boats, to burn the ships. And as the ships were burning, he faced all of his men and he said to them, there is no retreat. If you want to ever leave from here and go back to your homeland, we must win this battle that is in front of us. Guess what they did? They fought valiantly and they won the battle. Now, I want to say the reason for that is that retreat was taken off the table. It was no longer an option. They couldn't do that. They just removed it and they said, this is what God had called us to do. You say, this is what God has called us to do. And then you just become settled and sure on that thing. God has placed me into the ministry, and this is what God has for me to do. I want to say that while you're here in the classes and in chapel of Hiles Anderson College, it is also a time for you to become very settled and very sure about your Bible doctrine. There are those that are just wobbling so much. It's kind of like, what is the doctrine of the month? And they kind of wet their finger, if you would, and they hold their hand up to see which way the wind is going to blow, and they are very unsure. Let me help you understand. God is not unsure about what he commands to us from the Word of God. This is the very Word of God, and it doesn't change, and it's the same for us today as it was for our forefathers, as it was for the Apostle Paul, as it was for the ages of old, because forever, O Lord, thy Word is settled in heaven. Amen? I love this story about Margaret Thatcher, and as it said that Margaret Thatcher was talking on the phone to President Bush and was talking about the Gulf War, and she said a famous statement then. She said, this is no time to go wobbly. And let me just say to you, in the day and age in which we live in these last days, this is no time to go wobbly on what it is that we believe, on our Bible doctrine. We need to be settled on that thing. God has called you into the ministry, and God has called you, for some, for the men to be a preacher, to be a pastor, or to be a missionary. And you need to be settled on that, and you need to be settled on your Bible convictions, settled on what it is that you believe from God's Word. Hey, listen to me now. It's still a good thing to be a Baptist. Amen. Hey, it's still a good thing to be a Baptist. Amen? It's still a good thing to be a Baptist. You say, well, Baptist has a bad name. Listen to me now. If you are going to do the work of God, Charles Spurgeon said one time amongst a pastor's conference, he said, taking other people's church members can in no way be confused with New Testament church building. And here's what I want you to know. When you're out our way, there are just Catholics out there and non-denominationalists that, when you go out to give the gospel, when you win somebody to Christ, they don't know Baptists. That doesn't mean anything to them at all. They just know that somebody told me about Jesus and I got saved and I'm going to go to church. If it says Baptist, if it says community, if it says whatever, they're just going to go to church. Listen, Baptist is not going to hurt you, but what is going to help you is to stand by the faith of your fathers and to stand true to what God has called you to.
Amen?
Amen? Be a Baptist. Amen? Be a Baptist. Let me assure you of this, the holiness of God does not change.
Amen.
Well, it's a different age in which we live in, but sin is still sin, amen?
Amen?
And God is still holy, and God calls us to be holy as he is holy.
Amen.
God wants men to look like men, and he wants ladies to look like ladies. Amen? God has called us. They were different in the beginning, and God intends for it to be that way. There needs to be no confusion. Amen? And so we have the LBG, whatever, whatever, whatever. We have the alphabet, you know, people. And then the Q on the end of that is questioning. And let me just say that there are some, even amongst our ranks, that are questioning too much what should be their Bible convictions. But with God, it's sure, amen? And so I want to say the Bible says to make your calling and your election sure. A reporter one time said to Lester, asked Lester Roloff in the heat of all the battles when he was being sued by the state and when they were trying to close down all of the homes that they had. This was towards the end, after he'd fought these battles for many years. And a reporter said to Lester Roloff, if you're to do it all over again, would you do something different? Boldly, Lester Roloff looked at that camera with his King James Bible in his hand, and he said, when you start out right and biblical, you don't have to change. Now, I want to say there's a whole lot of change going on today, and it's not all good change. Just settle this thing. Look, I believe the Bible. Amen. I'm a Christian. I'm born again. The Bible is the Word of God. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Amen. God is a holy God. God saved me as a Baptist. God called me as a Baptist. He trained me as a Baptist. I started a Baptist church, and by the grace of God, I'll go to the grave still being faithful as a Baptist. Amen. Let me help you out. Soul winning is still the right thing to do. Amen? There's never been a time in your lifetime, but in my lifetime, where soul winning was more needed. People are scared. They're fearful. There's people that are still staying in. There's people that are still not going to public places. There are churches, you know, evangelical churches and progressive type of churches that are pulling back on their times that they meet, and they're meeting less and less because people don't want to go and gather together. But at the same time, people are nervous about today, and they're nervous about their future. And more than ever, people want answers, and Jesus is the answer. You say, well, bless God, if they want to know, let them just come to church. Well, they don't know, and we do know, so how about we go to them? Why don't we take the gospel into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Why don't we take the gospel outside of these four walls and go to people who are hurting without Jesus Christ because they need to be saved? Amen? So I want to say to you that God says to us, you need to make your calling and your election sure. With that, I want to say this also. Listen, be ever a student. Be ever a student. Just decide that you are going to stay teachable throughout the rest of your life. You're going to let God teach you. You're going to learn wisdom from other people in your life. You are going to not be prideful. You're not going to act like you know it all. You're just going to be teachable. As I've pastored for many years, I've seen this, and that is that there's some young guy just out of college and just called into ministry, and we'll sit down and we'll talk with them. And again, I'm fine with this, whatever they want to do. But we'll sit down and I'll talk with them and just try to be an encouragement and try to be a blessing to them. But in their immaturity, they do the vast majority of the talking. Now, I'm not going to say to them, just stop talking and let me teach you something. But if they had any wisdom at all, they would stop talking and let somebody who knows a little bit about the ministry teach them something so that they could continue to be teachable and continue to be growing in the Lord. Good. Now listen, when God called you to the ministry, he called you to the school of lifelong learning. Yes. You need to keep on learning. You need to keep on learning until the day that you die. Teddy Roosevelt was a man who was eccentric and just really crazy. And it was told of him that one time he was hiking in the mountains with the one personal bodyguard that he had. And he looks over the edge and he says, I wonder what's down there at the bottom. And his personal bodyguard said, we have no way to get down there. He said, our ropes are not long enough to reach there. Let's just observe it from here. Teddy Roosevelt said, no, I just want to go down and see it. He tied a rope around him and jumped off the edge. And this was just how Teddy Roosevelt was. He got down there. His rope was not long enough to reach the bottom. And then his bodyguard said, let me come around. Let me help you, help you. And Teddy Roosevelt said, don't worry. He took his knife and he cut off the rope and he fell to the ground. But here's what Teddy Roosevelt realized. He said, I need to continue to grow until the end of my life. Teddy Roosevelt died in his sleep. And when they came to remove Teddy Roosevelt from his bed, and as they were removing him, they felt something, and they pulled out from under his pillow, and Teddy Roosevelt was on his deathbed, and he was reading a book because he wanted to continue to learn until he drew his last breath. Now, I want to say that that's what God called you to do. Listen, you don't have all the answers, but here's what you do have. You have God, and God will put people around you that will help you to keep growing in the Lord. I love what the Apostle Paul said, and just the reference of this in chapter 3, verse 12, 13, and 14. He says that I've not attained, that I've not arrived, but he said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to be a little bit more like Jesus today than I was yesterday. I want to keep pressing on the upward way. I want to keep growing, and I want to keep going forward for the glory of God. And so God calls you to study. God calls you to learn so that we might faithfully learn and grow in the Lord. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12 says, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end. And this is what it says, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. You say, well, if study's so hard, I'm not going to do it. God's warning us that study's hard, but he says, do it anyway. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. Listen, God is not going to bless your ignorance. And so work hard while you're in college. Listen, if you slough off in college, if you do the minimum that you can here at Hiles Anderson College, you are going to take shortcuts throughout your life and throughout your ministry. But now is the time for you to gather and to grab a hold of everything that you can get and to learn as you go forward for the glory of God. And so God tells us that we need to make our calling and our election sure. We need to be sure about the call of God upon our life. We need to be sure and grounded in the Bible doctrines that God has given us in his word. We need to be ever a student, teachable, and continuing to learn and to grow in the Lord. But listen, just to help us out with this, you're never going to know it all, and you're going to continue to grow. You start out feeling like you know it all, and then as you get going in the ministry, you feel like that you really don't know very much at all. You realize there's so much more for you to learn. And so you continue to read the Bible. You continue to grow in the Lord. You continue to go forward in those things. But here's what happens. You got to be confident in what you do know. Be confident in what you do know. If you don't allow God to give you a clear confidence, then you will always be too unsure, too fearful to really go forward in the work of the Lord. I talked to some guys, and they've sat where you sat. They've gone through Bible college. They've graduated from Bible college. They may be serving as assistant somewheres. And really, the time has come where they need to go. They need to go out to pastor. They need to start a church. They need to go out in the work of the Lord. But they're unsure about it. They're unconfident about that. And they're just not sure if they can do it. And guys, let me help you out. You can't do it. But with God, all things are possible. You're never going to be ready. You're never going to know enough. You're never going to feel like that you're fully ready to do the work that God has called you to do. But you must, by faith, step forward. You got to trust God. You got to believe that the very God who called you, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. I remember when God had called us, I went through a local church Bible Institute, and then my wife and I went with a man, Reggie Baxley, and we assisted him as he started a church in the Northeast Atlanta area. And then God started working on my heart about starting a church and about going to a place where there were not churches. And so he led me to New Mexico, and we went out there kind of on a survey trip to look around. And another pastor said, if I were you and if I were starting out again in the ministry, I would go up to Rio Rancho. I said, where's Rio Rancho? And he said, just go on the west side of Rio Grande River, get on Coors Boulevard and just run it up to the end, and that's Rio Rancho. Just a little city built in dirt, right? Desert and just a small community that had been growing. It was 30,000 then, and it's 110,000 now. But God burdened my heart, and God laid that on my heart, and God said, this is where I have for you to go. The next two nights we were there and was in a motel that was in the town, and I was just praying and seeking God's face, and God was laying on my heart, just so clearly that this is where I want for you to be. And so I just prayed and I said, God, I gotta, you just lead me. I gotta set a date because I'll put this off. And so then God just laid on my heart 3 months from them, July the 1st, that where our family would be back in Rio Rancho in order to start Gospel Light Baptist Church. And so we just pushed forward towards that and really pushed really fast and hard by God's help. And we rolled into Rio Rancho with a Hertz rental truck on July 1st, 1988. It was 30 days, July 1st, and then we had our first service on July 31st. During that time, we were busy and we were doing a lot of things, but I'd love to tell you that it was fun and it was exciting and it was all rosy. But I want to promise you that the devil just jumped on my back. And I never had fear like that. I'd never had just a fear of failure and a fear of not succeeding and a fear of what would happen. And I never experienced anything like that before. It was just crazy. And I prayed, and there were nights where I was just praying, not pretty much all through the night, and just praying and seeking God. In the midst of all that, God gave me that verse from Philippians that said, it is God which worketh in you both to will. And God spoke to my heart, if you would, to say, is this your will or is this my will? And I said, God, I wouldn't have walked away from a computer programming job where at the time I was making $45,000, which 34 years ago would be something more like $70,000, $80,000 today. I said, I wouldn't have walked away from that. I wouldn't have moved to the middle of the desert where I don't know anybody at all. I wouldn't do this except that it was your will. And so God says it's God's will, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So the God that called me is the God that would equip me. And I want to promise you that I did not feel ready or adequate. But God has made up for all of the immaturities and all of the silliness and all of the things that I didn't know. God made up for all of that because I was just simply willing to live by faith. A few years after we got the church started, my mom and dad came there and we went over to Texas to meet my uncle, which I had met before, who is a Southern Baptist preacher. And he said, tell me the story of starting the church there. And I went through and told him those things and some other things. And as a Southern Baptist, he looked at me and he says, it sounds to me like you broke all the rules. I said, well, I guess all of them but one. He said, what's that one? I said, the just shall live by faith. Amen? You just got to trust God. And listen, I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to tell you not to do it a certain way. But we've got all caught up in this thing that we can't start a church unless we already have all this money coming in. And unless we have, you know, all this laid out and so many things that are laid out in front of us in order for us to be able to start a church. And the only thing that I would say to you is, though that is a modern day model, it was not the model in my day. And so all you have to do is ask yourself the question, which generation probably worked better? When were more churches, the easier that we make church planting for the preacher, the less church planters we have. And it's that way in any area of life. When you just take an altar, protect your kids, and hand everything to them on a silver platter, you do not make them stronger, you make them weaker. And the easier that we've made for church planters, the less church planters we have. And so I want to say that God calls us by faith. He gives to us. This has become over the years, really my life verse in Philippians 1, if you look at it, verse number 6. It's a very common verse, and I'm sure that you know it. But it says in Philippians 1, verse number 6, the older I get, the more dear and special this verse is to me. Because it says in Philippians 1, and verse number 6, he says, being confident of this very thing. We ask the question, is the confidence in myself? Is the confidence in my flesh, in my ability? No, certainly not. In fact, this verse is telling us just the opposite. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the trumpet sounds and Jesus comes and splits the eastern sky, or until Jesus takes me from this earth into his presence in glory, if God saved me, then he will lead me all the way until he takes me home. Amen. If I fall, as our text verse says, if I fall, if I turn away, it won't be God's fault. It's not because God wasn't with me, but it was because I drifted away in carnalness and sin. It's because through fear I turned away from the calling of God. But the Bible says to make that calling sure in your life. Let me encourage you, men and ladies both, that to get a verse, and when God leads you in something significant in your life, then pray and seek God and get a Bible verse and hold that thing and claim that thing and wear that verse out as you go to the throne of grace. Because if God had not given me that verse, I would not have got to the first Sunday to actually start Gospel Light Baptist Church. If I thought that it was resting on me, that I had to do this, that it was in my ability to do this, then I would have quit before I ever got started. And certainly I would have quit somewheres along the line. But I was convinced that it was not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. It was God. It was God's work in me. And so I realized that I just had to trust God. I just had to look to Him. The just shall live by faith. I just had to lean upon Him and trust Him in my life. That I want to say this. We're supposed to make our calling and our election sure. The call of God upon your life. The Bible doctrine that you have. You need to be ever a student and remain teachable. You need to be confident in what God has already given you. Be confident with where you are, and you don't know it all, and you're going to continue to learn, but you can never wait until you know it all to step out by faith, for if you do, it's not faith, but rather it is some measure of confidence in your own abilities. And so you have to trust God. You have to step out. It is a thing that you must do. And then here's what I want to say also, that you must keep pressing on the upward way. You must keep pressing on the upward way. Now listen, we're talking about churches. We're talking about churches being planted. And I want to say there's not more churches being planted because there's not guys. And I'm not fussing about this. There's less guys surrendered in the ministry. There's less guys that are going in the ministry. Life is a little bit more comfortable. Life is a little bit easier than it was in the past. And many times we sit upon our beds of ease. We're at ease in Zion. And we're not willing to step out by faith because life is just a little bit more comfortable, but also guys that are going in the ministry would rather stay under the leadership of someone in the ministry than ever go forward and actually start a work for God. Now, God will call some of you to be an assistant pastor all the way through life until He calls you home. But there's some of you that God will lead you through that path, not forever, truthfully, not even for an extended period of time, but He wants you to go forward and He wants you to start a church, to take a church, and to go forward for the glory of God. Jesus said, I will build my church. And He intends on doing that, but God, like everything, does His work through human instrumentality. I want to promise you, God do way better job loving my wife than I love my wife. He do a way better job raising my kids than I did raising my kids. But God has chose to use us to do His work. And so we have to settle on that, and we have to decide on that. There's also guys, listen to me now. There's also guys, and I've seen this again and again and again. It's really sad. It's heartbreaking. There's guys who take a church or start a church, and they pastor it, and God blesses, and the church is growing along. And then it reaches a certain point, and ministry becomes a little bit more comfortable. There's enough people there to minister to. There's enough people there that when you preach, it looks pretty good. It looks pretty decent. The offerings are enough to basically take care of the needs and the expenses of the church and the expenses of the pastor. And when the church gets to that level, there's a great temptation to just sit back and coast from that point. And I've told our people, I said, we're just right now buying land. God is so amazing and so good. $240,000 to add an acre, 1.6 acres of land that already touches our land. We're looking to build a student life center with a gym and 12 other classrooms. And this is what I said. I looked at our deacons and I looked at our people and I said, listen, it's not like that we're trying to, of course, build a name for ourselves. It's not like we're trying to be some big church or something like that. That's not what my intention is. But let's all be honest and say, the Great Commission is still the Great Commission. And there are still people out there that need Jesus Christ. So it isn't about you being comfortable at some point. It is you shaking your city for Jesus Christ, turning that city upside down or right side up for the glory of God. It's so you going in with the power of God and with the word of God and hitting the streets and going soul winning and chasing after the lost and telling people about Jesus Christ and keep going forward for the glory of God until the trumpet sounds and Jesus calls us all home. Amen? We're not done yet. We're not done yet. It's not enough yet. Amen? It's not enough yet. We must keep pressing on the upward way. We've got to keep going forward for the glory of God. We've got to allow God to use us. Now, I've never said this in a public setting, but only for the purpose of encouraging you. I've asked God, I turned 60 years old. And I know you're looking, you're saying, man, you don't look a day over 59 and a half. But I turned 60 years old. And this is what I said. I prayed and I said, God, by the glory of God, if you would have, by your will and your purpose, I want for this next decade to be the most fruitful decade in my ministry. I don't want to coast into glory on flowery beds of ease, but I want to keep going forward for the glory of God until Jesus calls me home. I love what the Apostle Paul said. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept the faith. And he was faithfully serving Jesus all the way until the end of his life. Let's bow our heads, if we would, all over in prayer. Listen, this is so important. As God gives to us this call, this is serious, serious business, as God calls us to be preachers of the gospel, to pastor, to be a missionary, to tell people the gospel, to see people saved through faith in Jesus Christ. This is serious business that God calls us to. What a joy it is. What a privilege it is. I spoke of sacrifice, but listen, it's not a sacrifice to serve God. That God is better to me than I've ever deserved. Now I want to say all this in heaven too. How wonderful and glorious is that? We need to be busy about this thing and committed to this thing and willing to step forward in this work that God calls for us to do. And Heavenly Father, I pray that you bless these young people. Please help them. Have your hand on them. Those that have already come to the altar, I pray that others would respond. Just in this moment of an invitation, use this time now to help them to make some decision to make their calling and election sure. And we pray this, Jesus, in your precious name. Amen.